Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Navneet Education Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Prabhudas Lilladher Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jinesh Joshi from Prabhudas Lilladher Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Diksha. On behalf of Prabhudas Lilladher, I welcome you all to the 4Q FY22 earnings call of Navneet Education Limited. We have with us the management represented by Mr. Sunil Gala, MD, Mr. Kalpesh Dedhia, who's the CFO, and Mr. Romi Mistry, Head Investor Relations. I would now like to hand over the call to the management for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Jinesh. Hi, good morning to all of you. In fact, we have Mr. Sanjeev Shah also on this call with us to discuss further on EdTech initiatives. Let me straightaway come on to the results. As you all know that individual quarters are actually not representative of a full year, and hence I will give you broad performance of quarter and for the year 2021-22. As you saw the results, Q4 revenue grew by 46%, and for the year it grew by 32%. These are still not pre-pandemic numbers, but with better performance in Q4 overall trend in the current year, we are very hopeful of 2022-23 and onwards being normal years. Of the above growth, on standalone basis, publication business grew by 26%, stationery domestic grew by 63%, and stationery exports grew by 27%. At an annual basis, EBIT margins of publication businesses are lower compared to FY20 since economies of scale have not been received yet in 2021-22 with respect to publication business. Whereas stationery domestic and exports have almost achieved the same EBIT margins as FY20. Instead of talking much on the Q4, now let's talk on what are we looking forward. First, I'll start with publication business, of course, on standalone basis. Let me remind you that this is the most important part of our business. As you all know that, company publishes supplementary books, which includes digests, question bank, workbooks. As you all also know that company is dominant market leader in the state of Maharashtra and Gujarat. Maharashtra contributes around 55% of the revenue, whereas Gujarat contributes 45% of the revenue. The school in this segment typically have an annual fee of around 15,000-20,000 rupees and has not adopted online education effectively due to lack of resources, infrastructure with the school and children, and lack of training. As you all know that Navneet's market share in this segment is quite substantial. Overall, going forward, we foresee that publication business will come back to normal and will grow hereon. Also let me tell you that paper prices are totally passed through, and we will maintain same margins as previous periods, even though paper prices are on rise, or I should say were on rise. On Q4 in particular, all of you might have some questions in terms of revenue. Q4 2022 compared to Q4 2021 is more or less flat. Compared to Q4 2020, which was a normal year, it is far better. This is mainly because many schools reopened in the month of February and started ordering. So we expect good numbers in first half of this year and expect this business to do much better than the past due to two reasons in particular that I should mention specifically here. One is during COVID, lots of the trend has been that students do use second-hand books, whereas during COVID, because 2 years have passed, there is very less availability of second-hand books, and therefore we believe fresh purchases will have to be made by the students, and therefore we will see some more volume growth than normal. And the most important another reason I should mention here is National Education Policy 2020. As you all may know, in the past also, whenever there were curriculum changes, we had substantial growth in volumes. And similarly will be the case from 2024. What we get the news right now that respective state governments have started building new content, and that will be implemented from 2024 onwards. So 3 to 4 years thereafter, we will have continuous revision, and that will benefit all the publishers, including Navneet. So these were the two main reasons we believe not only 22-23, but the year thereafter also will have a good growth going forward. Simultaneously, let me talk about our CBSE initiative, which also you all know that we had acquired Indianica in 2015. It is 100% subsidiary of the company. As you might have seen, that this business has also turned around in Q4. Q4 results do reflect that. And just to remind you that CBSE book business is always in the last quarter of the year, which is the March quarter. Turnaround in this business was actually due in 2021 itself, but due to COVID, it got postponed. The turnaround mainly is due to rationalization of cost, focus on more appropriate titles or increase in number of titles. So we have, we could achieve a first time, I should say, that EBITDA of around 2 crore, of course, very small number, but we first time in the life of Indianica, we achieved EBITDA positive, though there was a loss of around 6 crore due to depreciation and interest. So going forward, we now expect Indianica to become PAT positive from current year, 22-23. Now let me take you through the prospects of stationery business. Here also, export of stationery is almost 2/3 of the stationery business and is largely to the US markets, and rest is domestic. Export grew by 25% or should in 21-22 and is likely to grow at 25% CAGR or beyond for over next 3 to 4 years and should lead to expansion in stationery margins because exports margins are better than domestic stationery, and therefore at an overall stationery business we should see better margin improvements in stationery business as well. So to keeping this in mind, we are setting up a center for stationery exports with capex of around 100 crores over a period of 5 years. We did spend meager amount towards land acquisition, but going forward in 23 and 24 we'll be investing around 40 odd crore, and balance will be spread over further 3 years. We also expect our domestic stationery to bounce back to pre-COVID levels. And as I said in the beginning, that signs are already there in Q4. Here I should specifically mention that paper prices are passed through in domestic business, but not in case of exports, because exports, we take orders quite well in advance and then we have to service them. But thankfully, together with rupee depreciation and smart buying of paper, we are hopeful to maintain the margins in exports as well. Now, let me take you through the digital business. All along, we have been calling it eSense Learning Private Limited. Recently, we changed its name to Navneet Future Tech Limited. So, over last 1.5 to 2 years, company decided to make investments in EdTech with a long-term view to expand its horizon beyond traditional publication business of Maharashtra and Gujarat. This was to take advantage of changes in the industry, which are opening new avenues beyond traditional publication segment. So, company plans to leverage Navneet's content, brand, relationship, distribution, etc. in EdTech business and venture in core states as well as many other states in the country. So what have we done so far? How much amount have we spent? I'll speak on that now. So company invested in basically two, three different verticals. It invested both organically and inorganically. So till 31st March 22, company
ladies and gentlemen, request you to please be connected. The line from Mr. Gala is disconnected. I'll connect them back to the call.
Sorry, my line got disconnected for a minute. So let me discuss again on our EdTech initiative. So in last 2 years or so, we decided to make investments in EdTech with a long-term view to expand its horizon beyond traditional publication business of Maharashtra and Gujarat. This was mainly to take advantage in the industry, which are opening new avenues beyond traditional. So company plans to basically leverage Navneet's content, brand, relationship, distribution, not only in core states of Maharashtra and Gujarat, but also in the rest of the country. So let me take you through the future of the business as well as amounts spent till date. So company made an investment of around 30 odd crores in three companies, which I had discussed during my last investor call also. And since beginning, till date, we have invested around 80 odd crores organically. And company in 23 alone, company expects to spend further 60 odd crore. Assuming we do not make any other more investments. So we had explained our digital strategy in December quarter. Me and Sanjeev had discussed on the request of few investors. But let me take you through what have we done in last one quarter. We have already launched our flagship LMS product for CBSE schools, and initial response from schools are encouraging. Similarly, launched tutoring platform, which is called VEMS, V-E-M-S, which we acquired company GenNext, and initial trial runs have happened, and now we will go a little aggressively there. We will be also launching our early childhood learning platform, LibBridge, very soon. Other two investee companies being Be Galileo and Tinkerly are also doing well. However, I should at least tell, place this on record that company is in very, very initial period of learning curve. We don't want to really set very high expectations till we are fully sure, as we are relatively new to this business. Company will be able to show or know benefits of its investments only sometime in 2024 and onwards. Beyond these EdTech investments, we did other investments which we believe are two very valuable investments. First being the school management services company, which is K-12 Techno, that we have invested. So, no doubt it is growing very, very well. We own around 27% equity post dilution on account of new investors coming in. It is just a number, but I should tell you that based on the last investment that company received, our stake was valued around 600 odd crores, whereas cumulative investment in that company we made were around 120 crore. Thankfully, this company has also ventured into several EdTech initiatives for its own school under management and also has started marketing the same to other schools. Overall growth potentials are very, very high in this opportunity. The other investment is into sports management company, SFA. Let me tell you, it is a sports tech company and mainly deals with the students and therefore the investment. We had committed around 75 crore in this company, of which around 50% was invested in last year and balance will be invested in the current year. This was on business. On the current cash and debt, I should tell you here that our current debt was current cash was around 19 crore and debt of 70 odd crore as of March 22. However, you all know that March quarter is the biggest as we build inventory for the forthcoming season in for June quarter, and therefore we expect to become debt free by around August as earlier years. So overall net-net, let me tell you what is the investments for 2023 and dividend policy also. So overall, as I mentioned, that in our stationery business, we'll end up spending around 40 crore. It could be partly, mostly in 23, but part and balance in 24. So, but overall in 23, around 40 odd crore will be invested in stationery business. In Navneet Future Tech, around 60 odd crore. And in sports business, which I just mentioned, that 50% of investment in SFA is balanced around 37.5 crore. So these are the investment plans for 2023. And on dividend policy, it will depend on the overall need of funds in the company and the growth that we see in future. So now having said this, I should also mention that we are highly excited by our growth prospects over next 3 to 5 years. In our core traditional business of publication and stationery, as well as we are very, very hopeful with the kind of investments and the organic opportunities that we have identified in EdTech. So overall, we are very, very excited. So these were my opening remarks, and now I request questions for the quarter, for the year, or for the future. And me and Sanjeev will try answering all of them. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Anived Portfolio Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Couple of questions from my end. You know, if I look at the stationery business, I think we had peak sales of around 7.69 billion in FY19. And this year we've ended at 6.8 billion. So given the growth in exports, should we expect FY19 sales, peak sales to cross this year? And, you know, what kind of a margin trajectory can we look at in the stationery business? Because we're almost there at, you know, peak margins at 16.5% EBIT margin. So how much can they improve from here on? That's on the stationery side.
Hello.
Yeah, Prakash, go ahead.
Yeah. So that was on the stationery side. If I look at the publication segment, you know, our peak sales then, I think in 19 were 7.7 billion. And today we are at 4.2 billion. So is it fair to expect we'll cross that peak sales of around 7.7 billion, say next year in FY24? And lastly, on, you know, K12, I think the valuation is around 22 billion as per the latest fundraise. So any direction or, you know, plan for monetization of our balance stake? Do we remain strategic investors? Do we want to part trim? What's the exit plan there? So those were three of my questions. If you could address them, that would be very helpful.
Sure, Prakash. Yeah, so on stationery business, basically question was, will we be able to improve margins over 19-20? So as I said in my opening remarks, first of all on growth, we are very sure to cross the number of 19-20 in the current year, mainly on account of exports of stationery because opportunities are quite large. As I mentioned in my opening remarks, that because exports stationery business grows faster than domestic, but obviously the domestic rather overall stationery margins has to improve because exports of stationery business enjoys better margin. The challenge could be that, as I mentioned, that we do pre-book the order a year in advance, whereas the raw material volatility is always a challenge for us. And we have, of course, tried smartly controlling the paper prices by either buying that little bit in advance or contracting with the paper mills for a longer period. So that way we believe it will improve, it will rather remain at least the same for 2022-23. But as business of exports grow, we are very sure that the overall stationery margins should improve. On your second question to publication business, yes, we are very sure that we will cross 19-20 numbers. This is on account of the two reasons that I gave you. Of course, NEP will get reflected from 23-24, but because 2 years actually students had not bought, and therefore replacement of second-hand book market is quite possible. The trend today, yeah, we may not be able to show same performance as 19-20 in Q1, but when we talk of full half year, then we are very sure that publication business should cross 19-20 numbers. And on monetization of K-12, the way company is progressing still now and is likely to progress for next couple of years, I believe there is more juice left in that investment. So maybe at a right time, we may monetize, but nothing decided as of now.
Okay. So essentially you're saying publication on an annual basis should cross the pre-COVID number of around 7.7 billion in FY23 only.
Yes, please.
Okay. And for, you know, going forward, NEP and the syllabus change should drive growth in the next 3 to 4 years on the public.
That's right. That's right, Prakash.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. All the best. I'll join back if I have more questions. Thank you so
sure.
much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Mr. Anand Shirgonkar from Newport Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Go
yes,
ahead.
Yes. Yeah, good. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. I'll just continue with the previous question. For the stationery business, when you said that the growth or the number for F23 will surpass the number for F20, you mentioned that it will mainly be because of exports growing at a faster rate. But if you look at the domestic stationery for the year which has just ended and compare it, even that is down by 23% versus the F20. So wouldn't it be fair to say that even domestic stationery should pick up and cross the F20 number? So I don't know whether exports is responsible for the stationery crossing F20 or individually domestic will also cross the domestic of F20. That is the first question. I'll ask the next question after you answer.
Yeah, Anand, what I said that exports of stationery will grow faster than domestic. I agree that we were down by 23% compared to 1920 numbers in domestic stationery. I'm very confident that we will cross 1920 number also. But the pace of exports growing will be faster than domestic. That's what I meant.
Wonderful.
As a percentage.
Wonderful. That is very clear. Thank you. So the second question is, if you should go back to, I think, the one conference call or two conference calls ago, you had mentioned that the digital aspiration would be such that towards the end of the year, maybe December of this year, you would want to approach some funds and try to see if you can get some investments as you know, having some kind of a value and unlocking on the digital side as well as setting a benchmark. But since that conference call, things have changed a lot globally. Debate on the overall technology front in the US, on NASDAQ or FANG, and partly reflecting in the private equity investment on the technology side in India as well. So do you think that original plan could have shaken a bit or what would be, how would you look at this situation that has changed now vis-a-vis what you mentioned saying, you know, December, we should expect some kind of a news flow on this.
Yeah. Sanjeev, do you mind answering this?
Yeah. Hi. So, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. So, I was saying that the international and the domestic market volatility is not driven specifically by any sector and definitely not education or edtech. So, that is one response to that point. More importantly, for us at Navneet EdTech, we were not looking at accessing the markets, the public markets, at least for quite some time. It is not even a discussion at this stage internally. We are very focused on firstly getting our business planning exercise completed in the next 1 or 2 months. We want to make sure that we are very carefully focused on launching the products in a test mode. We want to make sure that customers are engaged with the product. We take their feedback before we go live with big bang marketing, and we don't want to get in front of the customer in a half prepared manner because there is a large franchise of Navneet also out here. So at this point of time, we are not looking at timing the markets in any case with any linkages with public markets. We have no such aspiration to do so for the next 2-3 months. Our focus is singularly on getting the technology and the product platforms developed now. And for the immediate future, at least, we are very confident that we will be able to establish enough confidence in the trial of the product launch before we actually get into a full-fledged public launch, which is when the funding will actually go up because of the incremental marketing costs. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Giriraj Daga from KM Visaria Family Trust. Please go ahead.
Hello, team. A couple of questions from my side. So sure. First, like already discussed a bit. So what I want to understand is that, like obviously we did about 710 crore revenue in the standalone publication business. What my understanding is that even if, let's say, we achieve a similar kind of volume, we will be about 750, 780 crore given the inflation where we are right now.
Yeah.
So this is the right assumption, right? Matlab that
yes,
volume will remain same. Okay.
Second.
Is that on the India Nikka side, I'll take separately a publication, India Nikka, what should be the growth rate should you assume for next 3 to 5 years in terms of CAGR since the base is low? Should it be 20, 25, 30% kind of a growth number?
Yeah, so for India Nikka, we assume conservatively 15% revenue growth. One important thing that I should have mentioned or we all should know is overall the importance of using or implementing CBSE curriculum is rising in the country very, very fast. So not only CBSE affiliated schools, but there are so many CBSE pattern schools converting from SSE every year in every state of the country. And therefore, since number of schools are rising rapidly, the growth potential for CBSE publications, textbooks also is very, very high. Now it has additional advantage that one side it has excellent textbooks to sell or get them recommended in the school. Simultaneously on the similar lines, we have now digital offering also, maybe through a subsidiary. So we will have dual advantage to the digital arm because it has books from the parent company, and parent company will have an advantage. Parent, what I mean is the subsidiary, India Nikka will have an advantage that it will be able to recommend more and more books together with the digital offering. So that way, as Navneet Group, we have additional advantage, and therefore we believe India Nikka also should grow around minimum 15% CAGR over next couple of years.
Okay. The number point is that this minimum 15% looks very small given the base where we are right now. So
No, that I fully agree. See, we have to see the competition in the market as well as reach is not that easy because it is spread across the country. And with the experience of last 5-6 years, we don't want to really increase our expenditure, way beyond it can be managed. And therefore, conservatively, I'm saying we should grow at 15%.
Okay. Just a follow-up here, last thing. Like, obviously, you had a own share of learning post to acquire India Nikka. Will management be looking for any inorganic with this side, or there's complete no-no for CBSE publication?
No more inorganic opportunity that we will see. Now we have enough experience, understanding of the market. And therefore, be it publication coupled with digital offering from the other group company, I think we have enough opportunity to grow, but no more inorganic opportunity now.
Okay. My second question is on the public stationery side. Just a follow-up here. You mentioned 25% CAGR for next 3-4 years on the export side of it.
Yes.
Should it be like FY23 should also be a reasonably good year, considering that
yes,
US is going through the slowdown? So,
fortunately, these are very small items from a consumption point of view of an individual. Therefore, we are very confident. There are so many other reasons. See, even if the consumption goes down a bit, even on the smaller items, but from where were they exporting earlier? That is getting shifted to country like India, and therefore enough opportunity to us, and therefore our confidence of growing 25% CAGR.
Okay. My third question is on the, like in the initial remarks you mentioned about the dividend, and we will see dividend depending on the growth capex.
Yeah.
When I look at the earlier numbers, we used to 300 crore plus kind of EBITDA in
2019
and 2020. Given that we are again talking of similar and better revenue from there, Should it be fair assumption that it should be similar kind of a, but better EBITDA? So is there, why there's a second thought that there should be dividend rethinking? Because you'll be again doing 300 plus EBITDA and this additional investment, what you are talking about of 140 crore, should be fairly without raising debt also.
I fully agree. Only thing, in the past, we were not in an investment mode the way we are today. And therefore, we wouldn't like to bring pressure on the company. And therefore, I just made a general remark that looking at various opportunities and investments made by the group, not only at standalone basis, we'll consider the dividend. But obvious, we will continue with our policy of distributing 25% of or above of the EBITDA of the PAT number.
Okay, last from my side, and if you're open to that, can you give me the revenue EBITDA number of our K12 company and SFA for FY22?
Do we have Kalpesh? Can you come in, please, as far as
K12? Yeah, one second. So revenue is about 165 crore.
Okay.
And and EBITDA would about 2 crore negative.
At a company level, Kalpesh?
At a company level.
Okay.
Okay. And how about SFA?
I think SFA number we may not have considered right now. Have we considered, Kalpesh?
No, we have not considered.
Because investment has not finalized, means not completed. We may not have considered. But FY22 would be very meager loss. And FY23 onwards, it should do very well.
Okay, sure. Thanks from my side and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to request the participants to restrict their questions to 2 per participant. We take the next question from the line of Samarth Singh from TPF Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just for clarification, I wanted, you mentioned on the standalone publication business that Q1 of this year will not be as good as Q1 1920. Could I just understand why? I mean, the schools should be all open by now, so it should be similar revenues at least, right? Similar profitability.
Yeah. So do I answer that first before you ask me the next question?
Yes, please.
Yeah. What has happened that we all read in the papers that schools have opened, which is a case also, but there is big issue right now in the regional medium schools. Regional medium schools, what had happened that parents had shifted those students to government run schools to save on fees and continue their academic growth. Many of them have not yet shifted back, thinking that something may happen again. And we are very sure that when it comes June, when the next academic year starts and actual school starts, that time they will immediately rush back to the schools that they were in already. So because of that, we are not seeing much orders right now from regional medium schools. And therefore, I said that Q1, we may not see the same growth, same numbers as 1920. But first half, we are very confident because finally students have to learn and therefore they will have to go back to their original schools.
And what percentage of 1920, you know, revenues in Q1 were from regional medium schools? Would you have that number?
So it should be around 37-38%.
So 37-38% of our Q1 revenues pre-COVID were from regional media sources.
That's right. But I'm not saying 100% will get shifted to second quarter. Partly it has started, but unfortunately what happens that the one of our business, being the workbook category, which are recommended by the schools and bought by the finally schools, that has not happened. The guide category sales have already started, but workbook category has not started. So part of the regional medium sales will get shifted to Q2.
Right. And that is depending on students coming back to the regional medium schools as opposed to staying in government schools.
Yeah, in government schools, they had just enrolled. No one were visiting them.
Right.
And I somehow logically also do not see that they can stop learning.
Right. Okay. Great. And then my second question was on Indianica. In your opening comments, you mentioned that it was Q4 was also still not similar to a pre-pandemic year. But essentially, the schools had opened and the buying happens in Q4 starting for students that will start in studying in April, right? So, shouldn't Indianica at least reflect Q4 reflect a normal year for Indianica?
Yeah, as I recollect in my opening remarks, I did mention that Q4 was quite excellent, and because of Q4 at a year level, we turned a bit positive. Overall, the number for Indianica at an annual basis looks little lower than our expectation also, because what had happened last year during March also, many schools started, opened, ordered, but again schools stopped. So we had little higher returns, and therefore net of returns, the revenue for the year we saw dip. But from Q4 performance, we are very confident that going forward, Indianica will grow from here.
But the Q4 would reflect 90% of the yearly revenues for Indianica?
In normal case, yes. 85 to 90% would be in Q4.
Okay. And the competitive scenario for Indianica has not changed. It's similar to what it was previously.
So, this year little being abnormal year because many publishers were not able to procure their raw material at the price that they wanted, or even there was unavailability. Thankfully, because of Navneet's relationship with paper mills over so many years, with excellent relationship due to various reasons, we did not have that problem. So this was a specific year. Now we have to see whether in this scenario, those small publishers will be able to sustain going forward. If yes, then yes, we'll see the same competition. And if no, all big publishers will benefit.
So that was the question I'm coming to is,
Sorry to interrupt. The participants are requested to restrict their questions to two per participant.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, Samad, go on.
We take the next question from the line of Bharat C. from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Sir, we have been talking of investing in digital and good plans on that, but from a return perspective, would that be a return dilutive for us? If you look at it, like initially these initiatives won't be like profit-making and should be look at it from a dilution in returns in the near term, or what is the longer-term plan over there? If you could help us from the return perspective.
Can you take this?
Sunil? Yes, sure. So I'm quite confident that the business has to deliver the outcomes from a financial and from a non-financial perspective. I have no doubt that the fact that we are not first off the block will help us a lot in not repeating other people's mistakes. And to that extent, it is a very important, like Sunil said earlier, we are going through a learning curve where not just what we believe will work for customers, but we have to also see what has not worked for customers in the past. And therefore, the ability to get this right over the next year or so, as we stabilize all the EdTech products launches, is a very important piece of the judgment on whether the business has worked, whether the ideas have worked or not worked. But we are therefore going about this very carefully by looking at what has happened in the market with all our competitors. And thankfully, most of these segments have a good number of players who have done lots of right things and a few wrong things. So we are learning very actively from their experience. As far as the financial outcomes are concerned, like we said earlier, the EdTech business, like all other digital businesses in the country, at least for the first year or two, will not deliver the profits from a EBITDA or a net profit perspective. And that is why we will be in investment mode. The question is whether the business is still considered valuable from a equity perspective. And I think at least private markets have established very, very successfully over a number of years that losses are not necessarily the path to equity value. But if the business is demonstrating a lot of other features of successful execution, team size, diversity of product portfolio, revenue growth on a month-on-month basis, and a lot of these things will actually go into what is the value perception of the business. Like we said earlier, there will be a benchmarking of the value at some point in the future. We don't have a date for that at this point, but we will benchmark the value of the digital businesses at that point. And that is the time to look at what is the equity value of this business for NEA. But to summarize, the first thing is we are going about our execution focus very carefully with looking at what has worked and not worked till today. We are focused on 5-6 parameters internally to judge whether we are winning. And the financial metrics is only one of the parameters, which is a very important one. And in the next, I think, year or so, the jury will be out on how well we have done on the EdTech launch across the 3-4 businesses that we want to put out. So that's, one way of looking at the, will this business be valuable? What will be the returns? I don't have a specific answer to that question with a number, frankly, today.
Fair enough, sir. That was helpful. Sir, I had another question on our stationery exports. Like stationery exports, if we look at the current scenario, what the retailers are facing, are there anything like the retailers are revising contracts, and are there any chances of us having margin pressure because of that? And is it a FOB? Probably, are we giving it on FOB because the freight rates are also high? So how our contracts work on that?
Yeah, fortunately, more than 90% of our exports are on FOB basis, so we are actually not worried about the freight. We should know that in the developed markets, India's share is hardly yet 10% or maybe in a single digit. So for this share to again get reduced doesn't look possible because there is a actually shift of buying pattern. So we have not seen any cancellation of the contracts so far, and we still believe that even if one party cancels or reduces their quantum, there are enough other opportunities available. We are constantly working on that. Therefore, at a company level for the total exports, I do not foresee that we will have pressure on reduced sales or for that matter, including margins.
That is from my side, sir. Thanks for answering the questions.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Prolin Nandu from GMO. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Two questions from my side, mostly on the EdTech part. One of the core strengths that we highlight in our EdTech business is our brand content and the relationship that we have with schools. If I'm not wrong, you have mentioned somewhere close to 25,000 schools is something which is in annual basis in your presentation. So when we talk about this relationship, right, how strong are these relationships? Just to understand on this whole LMS and ERP business of yours, are the decision makers who will decide whether to implement an LMS in the school are the same with whom we have relationship at a school level? And just a corollary to that, right, I mean, in terms of the sales people training that requires is required to sell a content versus a training which is required to sell some of these edtech products, where are we in that journey, right? I mean, just to understand on these two aspects.
Yeah, so I think the question regarding the school network and the Navneet relationships is a very important one, because what is happening today in the B2B space for any school company in the B2B edtech space, the key is the speed at which you can reach out to the decision makers and the trust element that needs to be conveyed in a decision as far as moving to an edtech platform is concerned. Now, thankfully, Navneet Education has been working with school principals, teachers, trustees for over 10, I think over 5 to 6 decades. And the question of knowing which school should be targeted, who are the right people to talk to, is a easier one for us to solve. In fact, as we speak, we are putting together a very strong data sciences team also to help support faster access and better filtering of the target client. So we are putting together our databases in knowing which are the schools that Navneet knows, who are the people they know, what is the size of that relationship. If they are customers for CBSE, are they customers for state boards? You know, do we have a stationary relationship with them? How old is the relationship? In some cases, we may have an opportunity to bundle the product between tech and books. So all this is currently what is being put together for reaching out to the right people in the school. One of the features of the school system is they are not yet in a corporate structure. So they don't have, most of the decision making is taken by the trustee with the school principal's recommendation. The decision making is not delegated, especially for big items like LMS and ERP. The decision is not delegated down to somebody lower or significantly below the principal. But the inputs are taken. Most schools have teams that evaluate tech interfaces, chain of curriculum, for example, the books also. So we have to make sure that we work through the system, but the principal and the trustees will be the final decision makers on any budgetary allocation and what is the student's experience with that shift to digital. So it is not like there will be a CTO in the school who will independently decide whether, you know, one product is better than the other as far as LMS is concerned. So thankfully, it is the same people that will get involved in the final decision. Your second question is a very good one, and I'm very happy to tell you that we have been spending the last 2 months precisely on this subject of seeing whether the Navneet sales team has everything it takes to do a product sales, especially a technology product sales pitch. Now, what we've done is, especially in Maharashtra, Gujarat, which is really our focus for this year on the EdTech piece for schools, we have looked at the sales teams in Navneet Education. We have identified the cities where we would like to work with the Navneet sales team. And independent of them, we have hired a number of tech sales guys in eSense. eSense being the company that is going to do the LMS and the ERP. So we have added a number of tech sales people at different levels in hierarchy who will work very closely with the Navneet sales guys to make sure that the school gets the pitch, understands the product, the demos are done with the tech sales team. We are building a very strong sales support structure, which are not feet on street, but they are people who are in call centers We are going to rebrand this as a sales center. It's not a call center. The call center does everything, including customer support, customer complaint handling. But we are looking at a sales center model, which will be driven purely by voice and data, where even demos will not be done necessarily by the Navneet guys. This will be done either by the eSend sales guy or the sales center team through walkthroughs and demos and all that. So we are creating what we are calling an implant model. The implant is basically the tech sales team is an implant in these cities with designated Navneet sales guys. And that joint venture is what we believe will help in accessing the right decision makers and also taking them through the technical features of the product. And that's really how we believe this can be won. Because if you leave it just to the tech sales team, they don't know the school principles yet. Over a period of time, they will. And if you leave it only to the Navneet sales guys, then they don't know the product yet. So we are creating these structures. We've in fact set up internal review mechanisms. We are currently, since we are at the initial stage of this, we are checking how this is working. And, you know, it's easier to sit in a meeting room and design all these processes. But we're actually following through and doing a city-wide review to check whether the sales is working well, what are the issues, what are the challenges. And we are very encouraged that given that it is from the same group, there is a lot of convergence of outcome. And people are working in a way in which there will be a faster access to decision makers with the sales guys working together on this.
No, thanks. Thanks a lot for a detailed answer. Second question is on LeapBridge, right? And this in the past, you have mentioned that this pre-K age group is an opportunity which is not quite targeted by the EdTech kind of a thing. So this whole, the launch which we are planning in June 22, this entire product is something which we have built in-house, right? If I understand it correctly. And what is the competitive landscape, right, in this space, right? I mean, are there any companies to look forward to in terms of the path that we want to take? So something on this LeapBridge and pre-K-12 opportunity, because that would be our first sort of a product to the market, which will in a way show the market our EdTech aspirations, or, you know, how are we in terms of delivering this EdTech aspirations, or something on LeapBridge will help.
Yeah, so to clarify, the launch this year will be focused on what we are calling as early years cognitive development skills, which is not the preschool launch. We are not launching the preschool in this calendar year. We are looking at a model which is the companies like, I don't know if you've heard of Play Shifu, which is the closest benchmark to what we are launching this year. This product is a very simple product which is focused on the age group of 2 to 8. And the idea is to take children through a physical kit, which is a box which they will get every quarter, which has various games and tools inside, physical. These are all physical items. This physical kit will be delivered over 4 quarters to the child. And to enhance the engagement for the child, we will create an application which mirrors the physical kit journey. So we've created, you know, immersive tools which actually the child can use and see the results of his engagement on a screen. But this business is something which is very, very, we need to make sure that the product is developed looking at the age that the child is at, because we don't want to create a significant tech orientation or a tech dependency for the child, given that most parents are not keen to take children out of schools and get them only onto iPads and all that. They're all, you know, kids are rushing back to schools because parents want that immersion between technology and the physical experience. So we've made sure this product is not online dependent, but it is online and offline delivered. This product is currently at a stage where we are testing the app. We've created an A/B testing group where we are actually going through the experience of the initial sample with customers across the country. We've taken various different psychographic profiles of language and different handsets. Somebody has an Android phone, somebody has a, you know, iOS. iOS is, of course, a smaller market. But we are actually sampling this. We are also sampling the kit. And what we are doing in June actually is just a soft launch of the product. We are not doing a hard launch of the product in June. So we are not going to launch this with any large degree of noise maybe for a few months after June. And that's when we will get the confidence. See, this is also the first B2C launch from our group. We are very conscious that we want to, you know, get this right. Going with a non-curriculum based product a few months later in the year is not considered in our, by our judgment, to be any risk. It's not curriculum based. It is something that we can launch even in July or August with the size and the noise that a marketing campaign needs to support this business. So this is going to be very focused on that 2-to-8 with kit plus app model. The preschool is something that we believe has a market. The preschool market is actually, the preschool product is similar to the eSense business, but focused on the pre-primary section. And this is something that we are still researching. We are looking at staffing this team appropriately to get the right talent and the right business thinking. But given Navneet's traditional experience with that age group and the profile, we are quite confident that maybe by September, the quarter, OND quarter, October, November, December, we will have a lot more clarity on what the preschool strategy should be, how we should go about it. And therefore, at this point, preschool will not feature in the next, definitely not in this calendar year from a launch perspective.
Cool, cool. Thanks a lot, Paranthu. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ayush Agarwal from Mittal Analytics. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. I hope I am audible.
Yes, you may go ahead, please.
Yeah. So my first question is on our stationery exports. So if you can, you know, tell us what were the margins pre-COVID and where we are currently and what are we expecting in FY23 given raw material inflation?
Sorry, I couldn't hear that. The voice was very muffled. I don't know if it was, I couldn't hear anything.
Yeah. Can you hear me now, sir? Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So my first question is on our stationery exports. So the, you know, where were we on the margins pre-COVID? Where are we currently and how do we see them shaping up over FY23?
Sunil, you're addressing that?
Yeah, I'm addressing that. Yeah, so margins in 1920, whether we'll be able to maintain that or not, that is your question, I understand.
No, I'm asking what were the margins in stationery exports pre-COVID?
It was around 16% EBITDA margin.
All right, and where are we currently and how do we see that shaping up, you know, in FY23?
FY23, of course, we are just in the first 2 months of the year.
But right.
Overall, as I said in my opening remark, that one, because of the rupee depreciation, and another with the smart buying of paper, added to that, the like other commodities, even paper prices have started softening. So keeping all this mind, for the full year, we believe we'll be able to maintain the same margins.
That's it. You know, a follow-up on this is that, you know, paper as a raw material in the stationery export, like how dominant is paper, you know, as a raw material for a stationery?
Frankly, we use two raw material for our exports. One is paper and other is polypropylene. It means there are many products made out of that. So both commodities had shot up quite sharply in last 6 months or so. So they are dominant cost for us.
All right. And my second question, sir, is, you know, on our current stationery utilization, given that we are doing 100 crore CapEx over the next 3-5 years, so what kind of numbers can the existing capacity can do and how do we, you know, what kind of asset terms do we see from the CAPEX going ahead?
See, like in publication also, stationery, it's really not right to correlate it with the assets that we invest in. Basically, major asset that we will be investing will be land and building. Machines investment will be quite less because the type of products that we want to export to the developing countries where even human labor is quite substantially involved. So asset turnover will be very high if we just consider the machinery part, and we also outsource lots of things for this. I think key thing here is how best volumes that we get orders from and the pricing that we can finally agree to with the customers. So I believe this 100 crore investment that we will do over next 5 years, that will give us results and fruits for over 10 to 12 years. So therefore, we believe if we have these facilities, then next phase of the growth we'll be able to achieve very easily.
That's great thing. And so my final question on publication, can we go back? You said that, you know, first half we should be able to cross our peak revenues earlier. Can margins also sustain to 30-35%?
Yeah, we will achieve the same margins as earlier.
Pass on
is easily possible.
All right. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you for answering.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to understand the reason behind sharing the digital copies along with the hard copy. I'm asking this because won't this cause cannibalism of demand on the hard copy books? Because I'm not sure in what format we are sharing, but there's a possibility that people might share the soft copies among themselves and get that printed further.
You mean to say the digibook that we have come out with, you are referring to that?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is, Sanjeev, you may answer or I may. It is actually not a physical PDF format that we send it to them. It has so many other features. So it is on a central server and students will be able to access through a central server. No doubt we have an offline mode also where part of the book can be read with additional features on the platform, but it is not transferable. So that we are not much worried.
And that's what I wanted to understand. Thank you.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhishek Tandon from Bowhead Capital India. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So I believe we launched Navneet Rai for CBC segment in a standalone business a couple of years back.
Sir, your voice is slightly low.
Hello, am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on recent set of numbers for stationery exports in North America. So the question is on Navneet Rise. I believe we launched CBSC books in a standalone business also a couple of years back. So how did this segment do in quarter four this time?
So it is now third year of launch. Rise series, of course, it is not still a big business, but what we realized while marketing CBSE books in the schools, that as a practice, schools do not prefer only single publisher to supply books to them, and therefore they go to couple of publishers. To stop that, what we thought was that one, of course, Indiadeka also has CBSE publications, and similarly we brought out titles from standalone, it is from Navneet, also certain CBSE titles. So two companies maybe of the same group going to the school, probability of getting more orders from the school is high, and therefore we did that. But overall acceptance of even Rise series books in the market has been quite good. So the future of both Indianica and Rise series from Navneet both looks very, very bright.
Okay, thank you. So, sir, just one additional question. Do we believe the stationery export phenomena, which is also majorly in quarter one, to be remain same also in FY23?
No, exports actually starts from Q4 and then next subsequent two quarters, Q1 and Q2. Only Q3 is little muted. So going forward, in all these three quarters, you will see revenues growing in exports. And added to that, in maybe in last one or two calls, I might have mentioned that fortunately now we have developed certain products which are year-round products. So it's not just a seasonal product. Therefore, continuous growth in that type of category also will help us increase the revenue every quarter.
Okay, got it. So basically what I was referring to is like approximately 40 to 45% of our stationery export sales used to come in quarter one. So it will reduce going on from now.
Yeah, as a percentage it will reduce.
And can you just name, you said that the products that we export have a decent amount of labor involved. So can you name a couple of products that we export?
Actually, I have not got your question because your voice is little hazy.
Can you just name a couple of products that we export in stationery, the products that involve a decent amount of labor?
Oh, so, there are many spiral books, spiral products, not books, but spiral products where polypropylene and paper both are used to complete the product. There is no machinery which can accommodate both type of raw material on a single machine and therefore huge labor. There are quite hardbound products that we have developed where also special with special effects on those products, there also labor is involved. So be it file folders or spiral pads, spiral notebooks, all these require human intervention and therefore labor.
Okay, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Samarth Singh from TPF Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the follow-up. So just two questions. One was on Indianica again. I'm just trying to understand here, because this year was, like you mentioned, a less competitive year, and it was a normal year for Indianica, at least Q4, which represents a large majority of the sales for the year. So, you know, how will we grow at 15%, assuming that competition is going to be more, starting next year?
So, at Indianica, because of the initially internal challenges, we were not able to really grow in all the markets or go deeper into the respective markets. So, now that we have sufficient products, right products, we are increasing the focus in the states that we are present, and therefore we believe apart from the newer geographies, even in the same geography, deeper penetration will help us grow.
Okay. And on the second question was on in the states of Maharashtra and Gujarat, where in the standalone business we have, pretty dominant position. What is the risk to that position with, schools changing from SSE to CBSE pattern? And do CBSE pattern schools, do they also behave like CBSE schools where they don't care to have only one supplier of publication house and they would, prefer multiple companies supplying to them?
So it's a good question. Fortunately, as a group, apart from the supplementary books that we have been selling, now we have textbooks also to offer to the schools. So whichever school gets converted to CBSE pattern, then because of our strong relationship with those schools, we'll be able to market our CBSE titles by way of textbooks also very effectively in those schools. So as a group, we don't fear any problem. But with respect to standalone supplementary book business, yes, we will have lesser volume whichever schools get shifted. But simultaneously, regional medium schools are also opening up more and more in the state. And therefore, we believe that will balance out. And overall, we should see reasonable growth in supplementary books as well.
Okay, great. I just want one final question. when can we do a buyback again? And given that our stock price is still below our buyback price, would we consider that?
No immediate answer to this, but we'll discuss this in the board and decide. No immediate answers as of now.
But the date we can do it again is June 22nd onwards, when the window opens again. Is that right?
Yeah, first we need to discuss, we need to understand various investments that we, as you all know, now we are in investment phase. So probably looking at every angle, we'll have to decide, is that feasible to do a buyback? And accordingly, we'll deliberate this in the board and then decide.
Okay, that's it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Due to time constraint, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So, first of all, I should thank Prabhudas Liladhar and in particular Jinesh Joshi to arrange this conference call for Navneet. And I thank all the participants who have joined us and asked very important questions to us, which I believe we have tried answering all of them. If anyone has any special questions further, request to talk to our IR, Mr. Rumi Mistry, and we'll try and answer them as well. Thank you once again.
Thank you. On behalf of Prabhudas Liladhar Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.